Well, good morning. We greet each one of you in Jesus' name. We also bring greetings from Emmanuel Brotherhood. It is a pleasure to be here with you this morning and worship together. It's been quite some time since we have been here, and so yes, it's good to connect with you all again this morning. I greatly appreciate it and was encouraged by what I heard this morning, both in the devotional and in the children's lesson. It has a lot to do with what I will be sharing this morning, basically along the same line. Just we heard a lot about faith, a lot about trust. This morning, we're going to talk about hope, and it goes right along with those, very interconnected, very difficult to separate. They must go together. So hope this morning, we're going to talk about hope, and turn with me to a psalm here, Psalm 43, just for an opening passage of Scripture. Psalm 43. Just take the time to read a short little psalm here. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from deceitful and unjust men. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out the light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto the holy hill, to thy tabernacle. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Just like was stated this morning already, you know, life brings circumstances that as we go through them, we wonder why, and we wonder what the point is, and we sometimes are extremely difficult, and we have questions, unanswered questions, and we don't know how things are always going to turn out. And so we heard a lot about faith and trust this morning. We're going to hear about hope. Hope in God. David was a man here that, well, we know the life of David. He experienced many of those experiences in life. But here he is communing with his own soul, and he's telling himself to hope in God. And sometimes we need to do that too. We need to talk to ourselves. And sometimes we get our focus off, and we need to bring ourselves back and say, soul, why are you just so discouraged? Why are you cast down? Hope in God. He's the same God yesterday and today and forever. So hope. Vine says hope is a favorable and confident expectation in the unseen and future. A happy anticipation of good. It's not, you know, in our English language, many times we use hope very casually, where we just kind of hope something happens. We hope it rains today, or we hope it doesn't rain today. But hope here in the Scriptures has more, is much stronger of a word. It's a confident expectation. We are confident that something is going to happen. We are confident that God is who he said he is. And we are confident that there is a better and brighter future. A happy anticipation of good. Hope is, yeah, anticipating and expecting a better future. We could ask the question, well, what is the difference between hope and faith? Vine says faith is a firm persuasion, a conviction, a belief in something based upon hearing, even though it is unseen or cannot be fully explained. Somewhat the same. It's a firm persuasion, a conviction, a belief. You know, we have faith in God. And we understand faith. I trust I'm not sharing anything new this morning, but just encouraging our hearts and what we know already. Faith, we have faith in God. We have faith in Christ. We have faith in the spiritual things, you know, past. You know, we have faith in what happened in the past. You know, we weren't there. We didn't see it, but we believe it because of the Word of God says it. We have we have faith in the present things that are happening, even though we don't see them and understand them. And we also have faith in the future, in future things. Faith is a firm persuasion that God is who He said He is in His Word, through His Word. It's a firm persuasion that God is who He said He is, and a firm belief and a persuasion in all His attributes. You know, the list could go on and on, you know, just to mention a few. You know, he's the Creator God, and because He's the Creator God, He's the Creator of this universe, He's my Creator, thus I need to answer to Him. He's the only God. He's holy, He's righteous, He's just, He's long-suffering, He's merciful. He's a God that cannot lie. The list could go on. We could spend a lot of time listing all His attributes. We also have a firm persuasion in Christ and that He is the way of salvation, the only way of salvation, and through Him we can have eternal life. That is faith. It's that firm persuasion in those truths that we find in the Scriptures. And it's a firm persuasion to the point where it moves us to action, like it did the men in Hebrews 11. We heard about Noah this morning. Noah had faith in God, and it moved him to build the boat because he believed what God said. And if we have a firm faith, a firm persuasion, it will also move us to action. So that is faith. Hope, like I said, has more to do with a firm, that confident expectation of a better or brighter future. It has more to do with the future. And when we have true faith, and we believe in the true faith, and we have true faith in God, it produces this strong, confident, and expectation of a brighter and better future. Our faith is the foundation that our hope is built upon. You know, there can't be hope without faith. Because true hope is an outflow of our faith. But then we can also say, if there's no hope, there's no faith. If there's no hope, there's no faith. And so, some days when we are feeling down and discouraged and we just don't see our way through the situation, we don't have a strong expectation and a confident expectation of a brighter and better future, we have to acknowledge the fact that we don't have faith. We don't have faith. So the two go hand in hand. You can't separate them. Same as faith, trust, faith, hope. Hebrews 11, 1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. In other words, we could say it's like I said, faith is the foundation of which our hope is built upon. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the foundation on which our expectations are built. So when we think of hope, even in the natural life, in the natural realm, the physical realm, hope is a very powerful, hope is very powerful. Here's a quote. Of all the forces that make for a better world, none is so indispensable, none so powerful as hope. Without hope, men are only half alive. With hope, they dream and think and work. Even in the natural, when a man has hope for a brighter and better future, he is willing to give himself wholly to that. You know, think of all the stories that we can think of history and the extreme difficulty that men have put themselves through, even giving their lives because they saw a better future. And if it wasn't going to be for them, they wanted it for their next generation. They saw a better and brighter future, and they were willing to give everything for it. They had hope. That's what hope is. It makes men go through all kinds of difficulties and come out the other side faithful, or even give their lives for it for the next generation. Here's another quote. There is no medicine like hope. No incentive so great and no tonic so powerful as expectation of something better tomorrow. Hope. You know, we know when someone gives up hope, there's no hope. The future, there's no future. When there's probably nothing, there's probably not many things in life that are much sadder than a man or a woman that has lost hope. There's nothing to live for anymore. The battle's lost. It's done. When a man loses hope. Whether it's in physical things, natural things, or in the spiritual, it's the same way. It's a very sad situation when someone loses hope. Here's a little example of when people lose hope, what happens. When people lose hope of a brighter and better future, this is just a very natural example, a physical example. There was a town, I'm not sure where it was. There was this nice little town in a valley where a stream was running through. And it was a beautiful town. It kept up the residents there. Somewhat prided themselves in their nice, beautiful town. It was very kept up. They groomed their places, their properties. They maintained them very well. And it was just a very outstanding little town there in this valley. And then came the news that the government is wanting to build a hydroelectric dam downstream. And once the dam would be completed and the dam would fill with water, the town would be covered. And this project was going to be years down the road. But immediately, there was a notice in the town. I mean, people noticed it immediately. No more maintenance, no more upkeep. Things start to deteriorate. And within a few short years, the town was in very poor condition, and the dam wasn't even built yet. Why? No hope in the future. No hope. And that's what happens in men and women's lives when there's no hope. So we'd like to just look into the scriptures this morning. Turn to quite a few scriptures this morning and just look at verses that speak about hope. Where our hope comes from, where our hope is in, and what happens when we have hope. First of all, let's turn to the first one here in Ephesians chapter 2. I don't know if I have all these in the proper order so that it all flows well, but we're just going to turn to numerous different scriptures here. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised by that which is called the uncircumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in this world, in the world. So here it's saying that at one time they were without hope. And you know, that's the way it is with each and every one of us. There's a time in each of our lives where we found ourselves without hope. Without Christ, there's no hope. And so this morning, hope is only found in Christ Jesus. And without Christ, there is no hope. No hope. But now, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We one time had no hope. We were far. We were alienated from Christ. But now we are brought nigh by the blood of Christ. That's where our hope is. We can be brought nigh to Christ. 1 Corinthians 15. So without Christ, there is no hope. And what a sad, sad plight. 1 Corinthians 15. I think maybe I'll take the time to read numerous verses here. 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is vain, is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead raise not. For if the dead raise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. If we only have hope in this life, we are of all men most miserable. If we have no hope for a better and brighter future, if all we have is what we have today, we don't have much to look for, and it's sad. Yeah, we have a good life, most of us. But yet, if this is all life is about, just what we have today, then why don't we just live it up? If there's nothing better out there to strive for, then why don't we just live it up today and enjoy life to the full as much as we can? And forget all the restraints. Because we're just making ourselves miserable. No. Because we have hope because there of a brighter future, because there has been a resurrection. And we heard about that this morning in the devotional there with Martha, Mary and Martha, and Lazarus. There, Lazarus died, and they didn't, yes, they believed in the future resurrection. They didn't understand that Jesus was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, and it seemed like they were sad and they were down about it. They were going through a difficult time in life, just like we all do. And like Brother Jesse said, Mary kept her faith. She believed Jesus. She had a hope in that future resurrection. And then Jesus there went on to raise Lazarus to life. But it's because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we can have hope. But now Christ is risen from the dead. You know, we sing that song, you know, oh, to have no hope in Jesus. Forget how the words go. How dark would this world be? How dark would this world be if we would have no hope in Jesus Christ? If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Titus, I think it was finished. Titus chapter 1. Verse 1 and 2. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Paul is saying that we have hope of eternal life. And the reason we can have hope, the reason we can have this strong, confident expectation in eternal life, it's not just a wishing, it's not just this finger crossing and waiting and hoping to see, and we hope everything works out. No, it's this hope is this strong, confident expectation. We know it's going to happen. And we know we can have eternal life. And we can have this because we have a God that cannot lie. And if we have faith in a God that cannot lie, we now can have this hope of eternal life. True biblical hope, it's that strong confidence in a brighter and better future. Romans 8. Verse 16, starting in verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirits that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. I would like you to, as we go through some of these next couple scriptures, see the relationship between hope and suffering. Hope and trials. Hope and temptations. It's almost in all the accounts in Scripture, they're together. And it's because when we go through these trying times in life, it's when we need that hope and that confidence in a brighter and better future. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. And hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth yet he hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. I think we'll stop reading there. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed unto us. And so like it says here, the whole creation, including ourselves, are groaning for our redemption. You know, the trials, the temptations, the disappointments, sicknesses, persecutions, whatever it may be, all come from because everything is degenerating in this world. It's degenerating and everything is groaning for its redemption. Everything is on its way down, even our own bodies. But this morning, we can have a hope that we have a brighter and better future, that this light suffering that we're going to go through here, and we haven't gone through much, some more than others, but there could be a day coming where we could suffer greatly. They're just light sufferings compared with the glory that shall be revealed unto us. And so this morning, that's as we go through these trials, as we go through these difficult experiences, let's keep our hope in this glorious inheritance that He has given us. We are joint heirs of God. How beautiful and That thought should just keep our faith strong in Him and keep our hope in Him. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation. Again, tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And this hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So again, these tribulations in our life, they work patience. We heard about patience. We heard about endurance this morning. And those things also work experience in our lives and then experience hope. And so as we go through these, as we go through life, let's allow these things to work that hope, that strong confidence and expectation in a brighter and better future. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 2 and 3. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God our Father. Patience of hope. Patience, that endurance, that waiting, that longing for the future. It works a hope in our lives. Romans chapter 15. Just picking up verse 4 here. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Again, we see through patience and needing comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. And jumping over to verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The God of hope. God is the author of our hope. Through believing in Him and having hope in Him, we can have joy and peace, even though we are going through difficult circumstances. Hope can abound. Hope can abound in our hearts. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 18. Wherefore I also, after heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance is in the saints, that what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. The hope of His calling. He has called us to his inheritance this morning. And we have that hope this morning. And that's what it's saying here, that he's praying, Paul is praying that our understanding would be enlightened, that we would understand what we have coming to us in the future through the inheritance that he has called us to. And what the riches of the glory of the inheritance is. And so we, this morning, have a hope. And we can have that strong hope in this brighter and better future because we have a God that cannot lie. And he has promised this to his children, to those that believe and trust in him. Colossians chapter 1. Verses 3-5, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the world of the truth of the gospel. So that hope that is laid up for us in heaven. And then over in verse 21, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your minds by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for this body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This morning we have this mystery that has been revealed to us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And like we started out in the message, without Christ, there is no hope. But today, now we have Christ in you, the hope of glory. What will hope do for us? What will hope, if we have this strong, confident expectation of this future that God has promised, what will it do for us? Romans 15, 13. I think we just read that a little earlier, but Romans 15, it says, now the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, we as Christians, if we have this true hope, we should be some of the most joyous and happy people. Even though things aren't going well. Sometimes I have to ask myself, do I truly, you know, this little circumstance got me down so much. Did I truly have the hope of Jesus Christ, Christ dwelling within me? We should. If we truly have the true hope, we should be joyous. Joy and peace. We should be peaceful. We should be at rest. Yes, even though, like we heard in the devotional, two mountains on either side and the sea in front of you and the enemy behind you. If we have that hope, we can have peace. We can have rest. We can stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Titus. Chapter 2. What will hope do for us? For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. If we truly have a hope for his appearing, it will teach us to walk godly, to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, and to live soberly and righteously. Because we are expecting his glorious appearing, and it will teach us to live right. True hope will teach us to live right. 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 3, 7 to 12. But if the ministration of death were written and engraved in stones and was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministry of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we should use great plainness of speech. We use great plainness of speech. This morning, if we have this hope of this mystery that has been revealed to us, that this new dispensation that has been given to us, if we truly have this hope, it will give us great plainness of speech. In other words, it's going to give us boldness. Do we have that boldness for Christ? Do we have that hope? Is it producing that plainness of speech, that boldness in our lives? 1 John. 3:3, a very familiar verse. Well, starting in 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. This hope of Jesus appearing and us being, him coming to receive his bride, should purify our lives. It should bring purification to us if we have this hope. 1 Thessalonians, along the same line, 1 Thessalonians 5, Verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. The hope of salvation. I believe that that hope of salvation that it's talking about there is the hope of our final salvation, our complete salvation, our full salvation that we will receive someday. Yes, we have the earnest of that today. We have assurance of salvation, but none of us have experienced the final salvation yet. And so I believe that what it's saying is that we have this hope for this full salvation that we will receive someday. It will be a helmet to us. Why? Because we are, our thoughts, our minds are continually thinking about that. And so it will guide our thoughts in life as we go through difficult times, as we go through hard circumstances, as we go through temptations, even as we go through failures. You know, a righteous man will fall seven times but rise again. As we go through life, if we are just hoping in that full salvation, that we are confident that someday we are going to receive this full salvation, it will be a helmet to our thoughts. It will protect us. It will guide and direct our thoughts. It will say, okay, this experience wasn't so bad after all compared to what I'm going to receive. And it will just give direction to our thoughts and to how we think. We'll think rightly about life and life circumstances if we are confident in that hope of salvation. So if we have trouble with our thoughts, our minds, maybe we need to check our hope. Do we have that? The real hope that we're talking about this morning. 1 Peter. Verse 13. Wherefore, it's kind of the same thought. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your minds, be sober, hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Gird up the loins of your minds, be sobered and hope. Hebrews 6. Verse 11. Excuse me. I think I'll take the time to read a couple verses here. Hebrews 11 down to verse 20. Hebrews 6, verse 11 down to verse 20. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Again, that diligence, that patience is brought in here. To the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for a confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong constellation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This morning we can have a hope that is anchored within the veil, that is anchored upon Jesus Christ. And we can have that strong confidence that the salvation that Jesus has brought to us will bring us this full salvation. We can have that full assurance this morning, that full confidence, because we have a God that there's nothing, there's no one greater than Him, and He couldn't find anything else to swear by, so He swore by Himself, because He's a God that cannot lie. And He has promised these things to us this morning. And so we have a hope that can be steadfast and sure. And so as we go through life, as we go through hard times in life, let's keep our eyes on that hope. First Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season it need be ye are in heaviness. Here we see that heaviness again. Through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, who having not seen yet love, whom ye have not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified before the sufferings of Christ that the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your minds, be sober, and hope unto the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hope. Hope unto the end. There's a quote, "Hope is a wonderful gift from God, a source of strength and courage. A source of strength and courage in the face of life's hardest trials. When we are trapped in a tunnel of misery, hope points to the light at the end. When we are overworked and exhausted, hope gives us fresh energy. When we are discouraged, hope lifts our spirits. When we are tempted to quit, hope keeps us going." And I'm sure that's what we all want to strive for. We all want to be faithful to the end And so I just give this word as an encouragement for us to hope. Hope in God. Like David said, he challenged his own soul to hope thou in God. I don't know, maybe we could sing. I thought of the song, My Anchor Holds, but also, why don't we sing, Jonathan, if you could lead us in song 715 here in closing.